I'm Pastor Troy Thompson. The message you're about to receive was conceived from the heart of the Father. I pray that it challenges you, transforms you, but most of all, that it inspires you to live in the power and the grace of our Lord.
Awesome. Welcome to Church on the North Coast this morning. So glad to have you here. For all of you who are at home watching the Browns game, you should have came to church. They need you here. They don't need you watching them. They need all the help they can get, but I'm glad you tuned in and watching this morning. I've asked Big T. Everybody give it up for Big T. He has an incredible testimony of how God has healed him. And I've asked him to come and share his testimony real quick so then we could pray for everybody who needs, you know, either prayer physically for themselves. You know, something powerful happens when you hear a story like this. And what you're about to hear is an incredible story that is, you know, you can't deny. It's an undeniable manifestation of God's glory on somebody's life. And if God did it for Big T, God will do it for you. And God will do it for, you know, your family. And God will do it. So Big T, why don't you just share with them what happened?
If I start crying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. June of 2005, I was somewhere close to the tune of 625 pounds. I was in my car driving from Cleveland to Sandusky, and I end up having to pull over in Avon because I couldn't breathe. And I just asked God, God, get me to Sandusky. I need to get to the hospital as quickly as possible. I got in the car, got back in the car, and God guided me down Route 2 and got me to Sandusky, got me to the hospital, got to the emergency room, and the doctor said, man, about 30, 45 minutes, you would have been dead. They put me immediately, I was in ICU. I was in ICU for the whole month of June 2005. That was then where they diagnosed me with polycystic kidney disease. I also was having a heart attack. So then on, 13 years passed by. I've been now on dialysis now for 13 years. 15 hours a week. On Monday, 5 hours. Wednesday, 5 hours. Friday, 5 hours. A month ago, my grandmother gave me a call and she said, son, where are you? I said, I'm at the church getting some equipment. She said, well, stay right there. I need to come and see you. So she came and she saw me and she said, God gave me a word for you. But before I give you that word, I want you to blow this shofar. And I want you to blow it until I tell you to stop. I blew the shofar to about maybe 60 times. After I got done blowing it, she said, now, I want you to take the shofar with you. And the word from God is something incredibly miraculous is getting ready to happen to you. I don't know what it is, but it's getting ready to happen. I said, yes, ma'am, I receive it. So that night, my wife and I, we headed out to Cuyahoga Falls to a prophetic summit. We were there for 4 days. Thursday night went by, Friday night went by, Saturday night they had a worship service. So I'm sitting down in my chair and having intercessory prayer, and the bishop there who was spearheading the event, she came to me and she said, come to me, son. God has given me a word for you concerning your kidneys. I said, yes, ma'am. So I came up to the front. She laid her hands on me. And I did not know that another gentleman, his name was Prophet Phil Rich from St. Louis, was there as well. And he laid his hands on me as well. I don't know what happened, but my body started to overheat. I was getting so hot that I couldn't even contain it. My clothes started getting drenched. It was so wet and I fell out into the spirit. I was out for about 20 minutes. I came out and I went over and we got in praise and worship. And right after praise and worship, the bishop came to me and she said, in front of 200 people, she said, son, go pee. That was kind of awkward. Yeah, it was kind of awkward. I said, yes, ma'am.
Yes, so ma'am.
I went.
Let me go to the restroom.
I went to the bathroom. I was in there for about 3 minutes. Brothers and sisters, I felt the urge to urinate that I have never felt in 13 years. Not only that, drips started coming from my body at that moment. I started urinating. I started praising God in the bathroom. I was going nuts. I went back out into the service and she said, "Son, what happened?" I said, "It happened, Mother." The church erupted. That night, we went to the hotel and the room had to be about 50, 60 degrees. It was cool in there. My wife said she could not get in the bed with me because I was still overheated. I was still so hot, she couldn't even get under the covers near me. That was the best sleep that I have ever had in my life. I woke up that Sunday morning and I jumped up and I went into the bathroom and immediately I started screaming. I said, "Honey, baby, it's happening again. I'm doing it again." And we started praising God in the hotel room. We went to morning service and the bishop came to me. She said, "Son, I want you to give your testimony on what happened to you the night before." I couldn't speak. I couldn't say a word. I just immediately started crying and then my body started getting drenched again. And at that moment, I fell out again. When I came back out, the prophet and the bishop started to come to me. They wanted to lay hands on me again, but they couldn't get within 6 feet of me. And the reason why they couldn't get within 6 feet of me, that glory, that fire was deep in my body. It was overheating my body. And not only was it overheating my body, it was leaving from my body and it was hitting people around in the congregation that was looking for that healing. There was a lady there who had a glass eye. She felt that glory and she could see again. There was a lady that came in a wheelchair. She felt that glory and that fire. She got up out the wheelchair and started walking with the wheelchair. People had dental situations, started having fixed, their teeth was getting fixed in front of people's eyes. Every day from that day forward, I've had the best sleep I've ever had in my life. And I've been peeing every day. You cannot tell me. Can nobody tell me that God is not a healer?
Yeah, come on.
Can nobody tell me that God is not a miracle worker?
Yes, Lord. Listen, if you have sickness or illness in your body, stand to your feet right now, all over this place. Sickness or illness, or somebody you know has sickness or illness, chronic sickness or illness, stand to your feet right now. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Huh. I don't know how to process that. Let's do this. Big T, come stand right here. Come stand right there. Can I get everyone that's over here to file out from the first row and go like this and just Big T, just touch him, all right? Or matter of fact, don't even touch him. Don't even touch him. Because you said that they just got within 6 feet of you. Just 6 feet. Just 6 feet. And the glory of the Lord. So just get close. Just walk through. And then go back. And then walk back to your seat. Walk back to your seat. Go ahead, play that. Come on, with your hands extended to them. Pray for them. Father, we thank you for healing. We thank you, God, that you're a miracle working God still. Come on, begin to lift your voice in prayer. We thank you, God, that all things are possible. All things are possible. We thank you for the blessing. We thank you, Jesus. bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. By faith we receive. By faith we receive. Yes, Lord. By Obi over there, Big T. Yes. Now can I get the front row to do the same thing? Just file in and file out back to your seat. Wherever you are, just stand right there, Big T. Come stand right here. Get within 6 feet. Within 6 feet. You see if Peter's shadow healed. If Peter's shadow did it, if God did it for Big T, 13 years and suddenly God, 13 years, and God moved. So we declare God move. Come on, can you extend your hand to these that are coming through right now? Over there, extend your hand to these. We declare healing. Healing. We bless, Lord. We thank you for the right hand of the blessing of the Father. God says he's removing reproach, condemnation, shame. You don't have to fight that hard for the blessing. You don't have to fight for healing. It belongs to you. The children's bread. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to strive for it. Thank you for healing. Thank you, Jesus. You say, why are you taking this much time to do this, Troy? If my kidneys didn't work for 13 years, I said, preacher, make the Spirit move. Smith Wigglesworth said, if the Spirit's not moving, I'll make him move. Huh? Make the Spirit move. Yes, Lord. Thank you for healing. Thank you for the abundance of heaven. 100 trillion cells. Obedient. Move of the Spirit. By His stripes, you are healed. No sickness, no infirmity, no malady. His presence so powerful. Yes, Lord. Come on, church, keep praying. Yes, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are powerful. You are mighty. We give you praise. If you were over here and you went through, just begin to touch where it used to hurt. Begin to test the Lord. See where you are. Expect it. Expect healing. We expect goodness. We expect the miraculous. Yes. Yes. thank you for the fire of the Lord. Thank you for the fire of the Lord. Burn away the dross. Burn away that which does not belong to you. Sickness, disease does not belong to you, Jesus. You unlock the treasury of heaven now. Big T, can you go down to that end now? Right there, you can just stand. Actually, right there, Big T, you're good. You're good, Big T, right there. Now we can get this whole section over here. Just come around the front. Come around the front. Come around the front. Everybody over here, pray for them over there. Thank you, Lord. Heal. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't do. We bless your holy name. Worthy are you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Touch your eyes. Vision being restored. Back. Your back is being healed. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We bless you. Church, celebrate like you received them. Yeah, celebrate like you actually received what you got for free. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Amen, amen. Well, welcome to church on the North Coast. Came to church, didn't even know, got prayed for. Here you go. He said, I was just coming to church. I didn't even realize what was going to happen today. People, kids were being prayed for. Everybody in the whole church got prayed for today. That's how we do. We want to receive this morning's tithe and offering and thank you for your faithful giving here at Church on the North Coast. If God's been good to you, we thank you. If God has been good to you, you're here. You're here. And that means God has been good to you. Last week I talked about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that if Abraham and Isaac don't continue to sow in lands of famine, then what will happen to Jacob is he will starve. And so we know that we're not going to allow Jacob to starve. We're going to make sure that we sow in the land where there appears to be no bread. We'll sow so there is bread for the next generation. Amen. So let's hold up your tithe this morning. There are tons of ways to give. Pay with PushPay by texting CNC Lorraine 77977. You can give online cnclove.org/give. You can give credit cards from the envelopes there in front of you. And, of course, you can make your checks payable to CNC. If you're watching online, you can go up to the top right, scroll down, and you can give. Let's hold it up before the Lord, and let's declare a blessing over it. Father, we thank you that this seed belongs to you. This tithe belongs to you. We bless it today. We commit it to your work. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want to say a sincere thank you to all of the pastoral staff that helps us. Do what we do here. If you're a pastor here at Church on the North Coast, can I get you to stand to your feet? Pastor Amy's here on the front row. Any others here? Any others here? I don't know what Dr. Cynthia is probably in. Yes, give her a great big hand. She's probably with kids, yeah. But thank you so much for continuing to, just care for the congregation of Church on the North Coast and doing it with such honor and excellence. We appreciate it so much. Hope to see you tonight at the Guide Summit. Dion Whitfield is in from Bethel. He'll be leading worship for us tonight. That's going to be amazing, I promise you. There was a lot of people here on Thursday night. Some of you guys were here. Thursday night was packed. It would be good to see that out in Valley View tonight as we have our Guide Summit. And then go chase God tonight together. Amen. Have your Bible, go with me to Exodus 4, verse 1. We'll be quick. I got about 15 minutes because of all of that prayer and stuff. Exodus 4, 1 says, then Moses answered and said, suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, Suppose, you ever had that conversation with God? Suppose it doesn't happen the way I thought it would. Suppose something bad happens. God's having this conversation and Moses is giving him a lot of suppose. Suppose, Lord. They say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, tell me what's in your hand, Moses. Moses said to him, it's a rod. And he said, you think it's a rod? Oh yeah? Cast it on the ground. I'll show you what it really is. And so he cast it on the ground. And when he cast it on the ground, it became a serpent. And Moses was afraid and fled. Moses, what's in your hand? Well, Moses said, well, that's the blessing of the Lord. That's the promises of God. These are my children. This is what God has blessed me with. This is the rod of God. And you should see what I do with this thing, God. It's amazing what I'm able to do with this thing. And God says to Moses, you think it's a rod? Moses said, yes. So throw it on the ground and I'll show you what it really is. I was watching one of the National Geographic not long ago. They were talking about the deadliest snakes in the world. Have you ever seen that? You can see why Satan was, symbolized as a snake, because they're frightening to look at. They're scary. And so they shared this family, the story of this family who went camping in the outback. Thank God for, there's one thing we can thank God for in Northeast Ohio, is that there's no scary snakes up here in Northeast Ohio like there is, in other places of the world. They were in the outback, and the little boy, he was about 5 years old, and he and the father were at the campsite, and they were way out in the middle of nowhere. And so they went kind of, how little boys are, they go adventuring. Even, the cook boys, they go adventuring, killing snakes and whatnot. And so they stumble upon this black snake. And the father sees the son going after this black snake and yells at the son, says, don't touch it. It's one of the deadliest snakes in the world. It's a black mamba. And so the father gets a camping shovel and goes over and he cuts the head off of the snake. Cuts it clean off. Dismembers the snake. Head from the body. And so he didn't think anything more about it. And they go on a little hike. They're walking around. And end of the day comes. Some 6-7 hours later, they come back to the campsite. And the little boy becomes curious because he remembered where his father cut the head off of that snake. So the little boy goes over there. And he's investigating the snake. And he becomes so curious, he picks up the head of the snake that's separated from the body of the snake. And as he went to pick it up, the life that was left in the nerve endings, the biology of that snake, took over. The nature of the snake in his physiology took over. And with one last bite, that snake, dismembered from his body, dead as dead, reached back and grabbed a hold of that boy's hand. And just like that, the venom went in. And the father knew he was on borrowed time. He makes a phone call. He calls the paramedic and says, I'll have to meet you on the way. Bring the anti-venom. My son has been bitten by a black mamba. He's only got about 20 minutes to live. They rush this way. The ambulance rushed this way. They meet in the middle. I'll come back to that story later. Life is interesting, isn't it? It's interesting that you can be bit by a snake you thought was dead still. He's a defeated enemy, right? We all know that on Calvary's Hill, when Jesus bled, his blood dripped down in the supposed place where Goliath's head was buried. Fulfilling the proto-evangelium found in Genesis 3:15 that says, his heel will crush his head. So, that this occurred, and we all know that the enemy is defeated. But how is it that the enemy can still give you one last bite? How is it that we still feel the effects of the venom of the enemy? These questions, they're put to me all the time. Well, if God is victorious, then why is my son dealing with this? And why is heroin? And why is hurricanes? And why is... And all of these questions. But what puzzles me more, and what's more alarming to me than the why God allows questions, is what happens when you're bit and you quit reaching. You see, because if you get bit enough, you get bit one good time. If the venom goes into your veins one good time, you get one good scare from picking up a snake. You'll stop reaching. You'll be careful to reach for anything after that, won't you? I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I'd see a little snake running around in the yard. I'd pick it up. I didn't care. I knew that its venom, it had no venom. I knew that even if it bit me, I could shake it off and throw it away. But if the right snake bites you, he has the venom powerful enough to go into your body and bring destruction, to steal from you, and if we're not careful, kill us prematurely. How is it that an enemy who has been dismembered, destroyed, annihilated, cast down, how is it that we still feel the effects? And more concerning is, what happens when you quit reaching? When you quit reaching. Because it says that Moses held on to a rod. Held on to a rod. God says to Moses in Moses' doubtful moments. You ever had a doubtful moment? You ever had a moment in life where you question God? You say, God, you're asking me to do something that just is, I don't know, God. But what if it doesn't work out the way you're saying, God? You ever tell them? Don't raise your hand. He said, God, what happens if it doesn't work? You know, I know how it's supposed to work, but what if it doesn't work out the way you say it's going? Suppose, God. And they're having all these supposed conversations with God. And God then looks at you and says to you and me, tell me what you got. Tell me what you're holding on to in this life. And the question this morning for you and me is, what you holding on to in this life? What you wrapping yourself around? What's supporting your weight in this life? How are you, what do you lean to in life when things get real scary? Huh? You lean on what you know. Oh, I read enough books. I get intelligent enough. I just think myself through a thing. You know, that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it when the doctor says what the doctor says. That's not going to do it for when the doctor says that what your intelligence is no match for this thing. You can't think your way through this thing. What do you do when there's an addiction? You say, well, I'll overcome it by my own will. Well, that's not going to do it either. What are you holding on to in this life? He said, Moses, I want to show you something. Moses, I know you're pretty confident in that rod you're holding. I know you've learned to walk with it through life, and you tend to take it for granted, Moses. But let me show you something. Moses, what's in your hand? He said, that's a rod, God. You know what that is. You gave this to me. This is special. This is anointed by you. He said, yeah, what I want you to do is throw it down. And when Moses threw it down, it says that the rod that Moses was holding became a snake. And I just want you to see Moses' reaction to what he was holding in his hand. He ran away. Just a second ago, he was leaning on it. God said, let me show you what it used to be. He throws it down, and the rod becomes a serpent, and it puts fear in the heart of Moses. And Moses runs away from the very thing he was holding on to a minute ago. And God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to do something now. Gather yourself, put yourself together, strengthen yourself in me. Just look at me. Don't look at the scary snake right now. Just pay attention to me. I want you to pick this snake up. Look what he says to Moses. The Lord said, I want you to reach out your hand. Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Take it up by the tail. You are the head and you're not the... Take it by the tail. But you got to reach for it, Moses. You reach, that word there, reach, it means to extend your hand. It literally means to send your hand. And the question is, what are you sending your hand for? And does it scare you? Does it scare you? You need to know that your rod today was your snake yesterday. You will write it down. The rod you hold today was the snake that scared you yesterday. Poverty used to scare you till you took it up by the tail. Sickness used to make you afraid till you picked it up by the tail. Some of us are driving around in snakes, living in snakes, wearing some snakes. The very promises of God you and I possess today, we forget were the things we were afraid of yesterday. Remember that the next time a scary snake slithers into your life. That this is nothing more than an opportunity for this thing to become a rod of God in your hand. That this snake that slithered in today, whether it be cancer, whether it be, kidney disease, it slithers into your life, dares you. And what's it trying to do to you? What's it trying to do but to get you to run from it? It's trying to cast fear into your heart, to run away from it. And here, just run away from it. Don't pick it up. The enemy said, don't pick it up. If you pick it up, you'll die. If you pick it up, if you challenge that thing, if you face that thing, if you think you have the nerve to go reaching your hand out, but the question is, what aren't you reaching for? And the very thing that scares you the most is probably the promise of God that's destined for your life. So in your mind, think with me. What makes you real nervous? When you begin to think about it, what is it that casts a little fear in your heart? Pick it up now. Reach for it. If it doesn't scare you, then you're probably picking up gardener snakes. If it doesn't scare you, it's probably too little for you. It's not big enough. God's people are the people that will be known. He said they will be known because they will handle deadly snakes and they won't be harmed by them. As a matter of fact, the snakes that they handle will become the rod in their hand that will split the sea, that will cause the water to come out of the hard places in life. It'll actually become the very thing that enables them to walk through the difficult places in life. Go with me to Exodus 17:8. Now close with this, and then we'll pick up next week or something. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, I want you to choose some men and I want you to go out and I want you to fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'm going to stand on the top of the hill with what in his hand? He's going to stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Ur went up on top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became weary, so they took a stone, put it up under him, and he sat on it, that stone representing Christ. We don't have time to go there. But Aaron and Ur supported his what? His hands. One on either side. They supported his hand while the rod was in his hand. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So let me get this straight. My victory then depends on the rod being lifted from a high place in my life. Is that what you're saying, God? God says, if you'll get to a high place in life and you'll take the rod, if you'll reach for it, reach for the promises of God, if you'll lift the promises of God above everything else and keep the promises lifted, what will happen in your life is you'll begin to see victories in the valleys of life if you'll hold the rod of God above every circumstance in life. If you hold the rod above the circumstance, you'll see victory in the dark places. You'll see victory in the valleys. Amalek won't be able to defeat you if you'll keep the rod of the promises of God. If you'll lift the promises above your depression, if you'll lift the promises above your oppression, if you'll lift it up and keep it up. But here's the thing. That requires some discipline. This is why spiritual disciplines in the house of God matter. This is why the Word matters in your life. Amen. You say, I took the Word and I lifted it above. I kept my hands steady. And when I grew weary, I went and found me some people. I went and found me some people that would come over to my right and come over to my left. And that would help me keep the Word of God lifted over my life. You gotta find some people in your life who won't get negative, who won't get cynical, who will keep he'll come over to your right side and come over to your left side, and they'll help you lift up the Word of God. They won't, now see, cause here's what happens. You see how important the Word of God. The Word, this is why you have to lift the Word this morning. Before I got in my car and came here, before as I was drinking my coffee, I took the Word of God. I took the rod of God in my life and I lifted it above every circumstance. I got to a high place with the Lord and I took the rod of God and I lifted it up over my circumstance. Because if you don't watch here, here's what will happen. Because see, Moses knew something. Moses knew. You see, in Exodus 4, Moses never forgot. Moses never forgot. Throw it down. The moment you let the promise down, it becomes a curse. And Moses said, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to let the Word down in my life. I'm not going to let it down. I'm not going to lay the Word down and forget. I'm not going to let the very thing that's supposed to be my promise turn into my curse. I'm not going to let it haunt me. I'm going to keep it lifted. And this is why it was so important that it be lifted. That it be lifted. You see, go up on the mountain, Moses. Moses, get up there on the mountain. You need perspective. You can't live your life in victory while living in the midst of defeat in the valleys. There's so many of us who surrender the promises of God the moment we get down into the valleys of God, where it becomes dark and scary, and we say, forget this, I'm getting out of here. And you lay it down, and the moment you lay it down, the curse comes to you. Now the curse begins to slither around, cause more fear to your life. You begin to embrace the lies of the enemy over your life. You begin to say to the enemy, well, maybe it's his will that I die prematurely. Well, maybe it's his will that my children be addicted to heroin. Well, maybe it's his will that this city, maybe it's his will, maybe it's his will. While you're living in the valley, God says, Moses, get out of the valley, get up on top of the mountain of God, take the rod of God and lift it above. Keep it lifted. Even when you're weary, even when you're tired, even when you got no strength left in you, he said, lift it up. And when you get tired, make a phone call to somebody. Call up somebody in the house of God that's faithful, that will stand beside you, that will stand beside you, and that will stand beside you, that stand beside you, that stand beside you. And you get tired, they'll hold the hand. They'll say, I'll come over on this side. You go over on that side. And we're not going to let the Word of God fail in your life. We're going to see the Word of God come true in your life. We're going to watch every promise become yes and amen in your life. We declare healing in your life. We declare joy in your life. We declare generational blessing in your life. We're just going to whisper to you the promises of God. Every time you start to let it down, we're going to hold it back up. And we're going to declare the word of God is true. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts going in and it cuts going out. It's got you covered. It's got your rear guard. It's got your front. And I got your side and she got that side. But what we're not going to do is let it down. We're not going to let it down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's I'm not going to let it down. Tell your neighbor, don't let it down. Don't let it down. Don't you dare. If you get tired, now tell them, when you get tired, call me. When you get tired, call me. And now you can see. Now focus with me. Now you can see why the enemy. Now you see why the enemy gets in there and says, no, I'm not helping them. That's why the enemy brings division. Because he wants you to get tired. He wants you to get bitter. He wants you to live in that place. Because he knows if he get Moses tired enough, Moses will lay it down. And Moses will throw it down and say, forget it. It ain't worth it. Every time I tried to pick it up, they made fun of me. Nobody supported me. They didn't care about me. I'm running around the backside of the desert. I'm out here running for my life. I'm a vagabond out here running away. I ain't got no father in this world. And all I'm trying to do is bless people. And then all I do is catch hell. Forget it. Moses, listen to me. If you don't keep that rod lifted, a nation will die. A nation will drown in Egypt. We got to become better stewards of the rods of God in our life. We got to, you got to take the word of God, every promise of God for your life. You got to hold that thing up above. So you got to have the word. You got to have fellowship.
Hallelujah.
Listen. Nobody's perfect, okay? Nobody's perfect. We're all going to miss it. Everybody's going to miss it. But you just can't say, I'm walking away from the promises of God. Because Troy missed it or Jocelyn missed it, we can't walk away from promises. You just gotta call the next person. You gotta call Lana. She'll stand with you. But it's too many people. There's too many people, you know, knocking down the rods in your life. Get away from those people. Get away from those people that don't believe in your promises. Go and get away from those people. You can love them. Pray for them to get to heaven. Because you ain't got to spend that much time with them. If they're not helping you hold the rod of God in your life, get away from them. Tell them I'll call you later. I'll call you later. And give them a wink. You do what Rahab did. You got to lie a little bit when you're trying to preserve the promises of God. I'm not telling you to lie. So you got to hold the word above. Get around the right people. Help you hold the word. Hold that promise up in your life. Don't you ever forget. Don't you ever forfeit the blessing of God over your life. You don't have to fight that hard for it, Autumn. You don't have to fight that hard for it. It belongs to you. That blessing belongs to you. That rod belongs to you. You hold that word up. You confess that promise.
Amen.
Some of us got to start confessing more. Your rod has power. But if you don't profess the power in the rod, if you don't start telling the rod, you don't start declaring the rod from the mountain of God. You know what happens to your mind. It's driven by your words. Your words create what you really believe in your heart. If you confess with your mouth, so your heart will search it. If you confess it with your mouth long enough and hold the rod up by your confession, pretty soon your thoughts start agreeing with your mouth. You can talk yourself into truth. You can talk yourself into a truth. Say it. Sometimes I just wake up in the middle of the night, say it. Say a promise. I'm going to hold up a promise. I'm going to hold up a rod in my life. You got to hold up the confession above the lie. Come on, right now, hold up the confession above lie. Come on, lift your rod above every lie, every curse. We lift the rod above every curse, every lie of the enemy, every whisper of doubt, every whisper of destruction. We hold above every lie and we declare the truth of God's word with our mouth. We say it's yes and amen to those that believe. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand today. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Altar ministers are going to come forward. Today, we want to pray for you. Altar ministers, NCSSM students, please come forward now. If you're here today, and the enemy is attacking you in the valley, we want to pray for you. We want to lift the rod of God above the lie of the enemy. We want to take your snake and turn it into your blessing. Huh? How many have felt the effects of the poison of the serpent this last week? Raise your hand if you felt some of that. You say, I felt some of that. We want to pray for you. We want to believe that the serpent that slithered into your family, into your community, into our nation, will turn into the very thing that God will use to bring deliverance. Very thing that's got you troubled, God says, I'm going to use it to bring deliverance, healing. You know, He brings refreshment. He brings refreshment when you're weary. When you're tired, God promises that He's going to take that promise, the rod that you hold. He said, if you'll strike the ground there in that dry place, Moses, I'll cause a rock to burst forth with rivers of living water. I'll bless you. Come on, close your eyes. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, today, I want the blessing of God in my life. I don't want to walk out of here, God, without the assurance, the blessing of the Father. I want to feel the Father's hand on my head before I leave today. And I want to know, God, before I leave here today, that this valley that I'm in, that I can win in this valley. The Lord's declaring it now. Victory. Darkest place. You will win in your darkest place. If you don't know the Lord, Bible says just call upon His name. Will you do that now if you don't know Him? You don't have to scream it. But it does say confession has to be made. So right there where you are, right there with your mouth, say His name, Jesus. Can you say His name with me? Jesus. Jesus, we call upon you. Rescue. Bring alive. Purpose, come to life now. Right now, purpose, come back to life. Destiny, alive. assignments clear. Children protected. Word of God, lead me now from this place. Declare it in Jesus' mighty name. You say amen? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand. As we go to dismiss today, if you prayed that prayer, gave your heart to the Lord, said His name, know it was for the first time, we want to pray for you. If this is your first or second or third time, you have not met the pastoral staff, we'd like to meet you right over there by that hello sign before you leave. If you have somebody that came with you today, we have a gift for them and we want to meet them. God bless you today. If you need prayer, please come this way.
Thank you for tuning in today and listening. I'm Pastor Troy Thompson, and I want you to know I'm praying for you, and you can make it. With God, all things are possible. If you'd like follow-up care, go to our website, cnclove.org.